I want us to open our Bibles in the book of Romans and the 8th chapter, commencing to read at the verse 28. I was just concluded my study in the Word of God yesterday when I received the call of the accident for Sister Lorraine. And sometimes we stand in the maze of life and we don't understand just why certain things happen in our lives, and we're left with many questions. I want to speak this evening upon comforting questions for very trying times. I didn't say necessarily comforting answers, because the questions, when they pose, I believe that they have in them the very heart of the answer. And therefore I believe that these comforting questions have comforting answers for very trying times. I didn't know why the Lord had led me this passage of God's precious word, but I certainly do know now. And I want just to open the word of God with you. And I want us to read some verses from verse 28 to verse 39. To many they're very familiar words, and yet I believe the Spirit of God has them for a purpose for this meeting this evening. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God will add His blessing to the reading of His book. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to have a word from Thee. Help us, our God, tonight to see Thy hand in the midst of our grief and sorrow. Help us to know, our God, the assurances of Thy precious book, and how true are those words. In times like these, we need the Savior. And in times like these, we need an anchor. We pray that Thou wilt anchor us in Thy precious book, and in Thy precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. And we pray that even tonight, Lord, that men and women will lift their eyes above their circumstances and get their eyes upon the living God, the living Lord. We commit our concluding part of our service to Thee. Have Thy way with us tonight, we ask of Thee, and cover us in the precious blood. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We find that the opening phrase in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans makes a statement, there is therefore now no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then the concluding part of the passage of God's Word, God's servant under the inspiration of the Spirit of God says, that I am persuaded that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we find that there are two main points which provide the key to the structure of the argument which Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is bringing to our hearts to bring us comfort. On the one hand, there is no condemnation. And on the other hand, there is no separation from our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what is happening in this 8th chapter here, the concluding part of it, the Spirit of God is concluding the argument that has been made in the previous chapters, from chapter 5 to chapter 8, dealing with the present and the future outworking of our justification by faith, which is in Jesus Christ alone. And so Romans chapter 8 verse 1 brings the assurance to the believer that there is no condemnation. And verses 31 to verse 34 goes into that in depth. And then we find that verses 35 to 39, there is the reality of no separation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I wonder, from verse 28 to verse 39, do you notice the 7 points of assurance? And I'll only give them to you in passing. First of all, God works in verse 28, that God is working all things together for good to them that love God. I believe that God is at work tonight, and God is working for our good, and God is working for His glory. You see, friends, no matter what you and I see at this very present moment, listen, God is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And sometimes in our life's journey, and there are people here tonight, and your hearts are heavy and your hearts are breaking, and you say to me, preacher, I wonder how you can say that in the light of what is happening to me. I wonder how you can say that in the light of the circumstances that I face in my family situation, or in my home, or in my particular situation, whether it be financial, or whether it be personal, or whether it be family situations, friend. Listen, you say to me, preacher, it's hard to believe it. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost says, friend. We know that all things work together for good. Now notice the word, friend. It says all things. It didn't say some things. See, when the road's going easy, and whenever the garden of life is strewn with roses, and the air is filled with the perfume of those sweet roses in the garden, and you say, preacher, I can understand that somehow everything's wonderful in life's experience, and certainly God's good. For God's working these things out in my life, you see, that's the good things. Let me tell you, my friend, God says, listen, all things work together for good. And whether it be the days of hardship, or whether it be the days of affliction, or whether it be the days, friend, even of sickness itself, I want to tell you, God says that all things work together for good. Now, if you're standing in the Stuart home tonight, and as you stand with Alpha and you put your arms around him, friend, it's hard to understand how that God is working it together for good that a young woman at 42 years of age would be taken away from her children. How that God is working it for good that a young husband that loved his wife and loves her so much, I seen to the congregation this morning, they have a lovely relationship. Actually, in fact, the night before, he turned to his wife, his daughter was nearby, and he turned to his wife and he said, Lorraine,
He says, give me a kiss. You're as beautiful today as you were the day that I married you. Little did he know that inside the next few hours, that beautiful young woman would be taken away from his sight. You say to me, preacher, you really believe tonight that God's working it together for good? Then I do. You'll notice there's a limitation to that verse. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the limitation. You see, you can't take the verse, friend, and abuse the scriptures. It's not for you if you don't love the Lord tonight. If you don't love the Lord Jesus tonight, let me tell you, God hasn't said that to you. I remember some years ago a man coming to my home when I was in Highfield Road, a man with a broken heart in a broken situation. We talked together. I never met the man before. He came a long distance. And because of my singing and because of other situations, he felt that he could come and talk about his situation to me in private. I remember sitting with him with a very heavy heart and a very broken heart. And remember at the end of our conversation, he said something like this. He said, Mr. McRae, you know, I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he says that it'll all work together for good, and I just got to take that and go home. I said to him, sir, I'm sorry I didn't read that in the Bible. He said, but it has to be there. I says, I'm sorry I didn't read that. And he said, you know, this preacher, give me that, and I must be honest, I've just been holding on to that. I said, I'll tell you what there is in the Bible. There's a little verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and it says this, and we know that all things work together. He says, so that's it. What do you mean it's not there? That's it. I said, friend, I didn't stop. He stopped him in the midst of the verse. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And I remember looking lovingly into his eyes and I said, my friend, can I ask you a question? Is that verse for you? Honestly before God, do you love God? Are you called according to God's purpose? You see, sometimes men and women can take a verse, friend, and they can abuse the scriptures and they can turn it around just to suit their situation. Let me say this. Jesus says this, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. If you really love me. You know, friend, let me tell you, it's so easy to say, yes, Lord, I love you. And friend, it's so easy for men and women to sing the hymns, my Jesus, I love thee and I know thou art mine. And friend, listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been to Calvary, if you've never claimed the blood of Christ in your sin, then let me tell you, my friend, you don't love him. You don't love him at all. How can you love Jesus and you reject him? How can you love him and you walk on underfoot his precious blood? How can you say you love him and you reject the work that he did at Calvary for the salvation of your soul and you're trying to get to heaven some other way? He says, if you love me, he says, you'll keep my commandments. What does the commandment say, friend? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And then the second great commandment is, and thy neighbor is thyself. Do you love him? Then before God, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, God works all things together for good to them that love God. And God will work it out, friends. I can't understand, I must confess. When I stood with Alfie and his wee family yesterday in the hospital, the side of Lorraine, he said, what do you say? Very hard to say, Alfie. This is all working together for your good, brother. His eyes are tear-lifted.
His heart is breaking. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven tonight that has promised that to his child. And I've got to run to Jesus' arms tonight, and I've got to nestle into his arms, and I say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you. And when I cannot see the way ahead, Lord, I'm going to trust. When I can't see your hand, I'm going to trust your heart. What a blessed assurance. Secondly, God is determined to fulfill his purpose for his child. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, God has determined to fulfill his purpose. What is God's purpose? What is God's plan for his child then? That we might be conformed to the image of his Son. Tell me, will that be fulfilled? 1 John chapter 3 tells us, it doth not yet appear what we shall, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be, here it is, we shall be like him. Isn't that what he purposed? Isn't that the purpose for God, friend? And sometimes God has got to knock the edges of our hearts. And sometimes God has got to discipline us, and sometimes God has got to chastise us, and even sometimes when we won't listen to him, God has even got to scourge us. Whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But let me tell you, friend, God is conforming his child into the image and the likeness of his Son. And glory to God, nothing will hinder the eternal purpose of God. I worship a sovereign God tonight, one who's upon the throne, and not all of hell will stop God from doing what he has purposed. Remember some years ago I was out in Puerto Rico. I remember this lovely pastor there, a young black pastor. And you know, friends, there were everything was working in their lives, just a young man. And God had called him to this place to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to this, and then one day something happened. His wife, she discovered a lump. And she went to the doctor, and when she went to the doctor, they got a wee family, and the doctor said to her, I'm sorry, you've got to come in for tests. And after the test, she says, I've got to come in for an operation. And friend, the day when they got the news that his young wife was dying of cancer, and they were reading together in the scriptures, and as they read together in the scriptures, this is what the Holy Ghost said to them, that God doeth whatsoever he pleaseth. Let me tell you, that's what God's doing, friend. Because God has pleased and God has purposed in his plan to conform you and me to the image of a Son, and sometimes our hearts will have to break. And sometimes God has to break our will, let me tell you, friend. If God didn't allow situations or even send situations into our lives, we'd never shed a tear over our loved ones because we'd let them go on. They'd just sail along nicely. And then sometimes our hearts have got to break and we've got to cry out, oh God, please step in. Friend, you come to wit's end corner. And God in a sovereign purpose and God in a sovereign plan, God's maturing your life. And friend, through those situations, through the knocks and life's experiences, God's conforming you, making you more and more like Jesus. God's still working on me. And then notice in verse number 30, it says, moreover, whom he also predestinated, or whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You notice the tense there. Because you see, friend, God has set the glorification of the believer as the accomplished goal. And do you notice the way it says, they're called and they're justified and they're glorified, because in the plan and in the mind of God, the glorification of the believer is an assured fact. It's not something that God hopes will happen. Let me tell you, friend, when God calls a man and when God justifies a man, as far as God's plan is concerned, glory to God, that man is in the state of justification and God has promised to conclude the work and he'd glorify him. Paul was able to say in Philippians, he said, what God has planned and what God has started, God's going to finish. Is that sweet assurance? And I'm glad that God's going to, he's not going to stop until he takes me home. I want to tell you, friend, my name's written in heaven. And my name will never be erased from the Lamb's book of life. And I say this in all the glory to God and nothing of man at all. I'm as sure of heaven as heaven there. Because in the heart of God, friend, whom he also called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I've often said to you in the past, let me tell you, Noah was in the boat. He was in the ark, and the ark is a type of Christ, friends. Let me tell you, many times Noah fell in the ark, but I'll tell you this, there wasn't one chance of Noah falling out of the ark. Why? Because God put him in. God shut him in. And if you're in Christ tonight, and if you're truly saved and born again, you can rejoice that as far as God is concerned, your glorification is an accomplished fact. Because whom God has called and whom God has justified, them he also glorified. What confidence, what assurance is here? Look in verses 31 to 33. God has acted on our behalf, and glory to God. He's not only acted, but he's continuing to act. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thank God he gave his son, he has already acted on our behalf, he gave his darling of his bosom. But praise God, he's continuing to act because it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We have a bountiful possession in Jesus Christ. Oh, that God's people would enter into the possession that they have from the bountiful hand of God. Very quickly, friend, go on again. Look at verse 34. And it says this, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God, not only, my friend, cares for you, but Christ intercedes for you. Maybe tonight you think that nobody cares. Nobody understands what you're going through. Let me tell you, there's a man in the glory, and his name is Jesus, the God-man, Christ Jesus. And he's at the Father's right hand, and thank God at the Father's right hand. What's he doing, friend? He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. As a preacher, I'm blessed when a brother reaches out their hand, and they say, and you can see it in their face, they say, brother, I'm praying for you. I'm remembering you in prayer. I have a text from brethren across this country, and let me tell you, they're just simply texting to me to say, brother, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God will help you to preach the gospel. I'm praying that God will sustain you and make you strong as you stand before the congregation in the will of God on Tuesday. And as you exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm praying for you. Let me tell you, there's a man in the glory, and he's interceding for me. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You feel lonely tonight? You feel that there's nobody cares or understands what you're going through? Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost says. We have an high priest which is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I was reading tonight in the book of the Psalms, and in the Psalm it says, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You have wept maybe last night. And you have wept sore tears over a son or a daughter, over a husband or over a wife, over a father or over a mother that's not saved.
And they're not right with God, friend, and you've shed your tears, and your tears have been scorching tears of a breaking heart. You say nobody sees them. And preacher, there's nobody understands. Let me tell you what the psalmist says. Are they not in thy book? God record your tears, friend. It says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. And in Bible times, they used to take the tears of the sorrowing, and they used to take it and they used to wring them into a bottle. And they would take that bottle and they would carry it. That mother would carry the bottle of her tears. And she'd carry them with her. That's why the Bible, I believe, tells us that when the woman came to the feet of Jesus, and when she sat there at the feet of Christ behind him, she washed his feet with her tears. Let me tell you, there were two kinds of tears she washed his feet with then. The warm tears of the present of a broken heart. And she took out her bottle from her apron of the tears of a broken past. And they were cold tears. And the warm tears of a present, and the cold tears of a broken past, she washed the feet of Jesus. He knows your tears tonight. And let me tell you, he's the one that, glory to God, one day will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. He intercedes for us. For the verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what that means? That God's going to sustain you. God's going to bring you through.
Oh, the devil will say there's no hope. The devil will say, my, you've lost it. God has forgotten about you. There's no use going on. And many a time the devil says, listen, and you feel as if you're going mad.
You can say, "Satan, take no more." Let me tell you, the Bible says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, get your eyes on Jesus tonight. I must confess with all the love in my heart, friend, there are things that I can't do. And when you look into tear-stained eyes, and when you look into broken faces, oh, how you would wish you could help more and you feel so helpless. Let me tell you, friend, look away to Jesus. Thank God he's still the healer of broken hearts. Thank God he still answers prayer. And you might have to wait. The psalmist says, I waited patiently to the Lord, but he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. Let me tell you, friend. He inclined unto me. Let me tell you. You know what that means? He bends low. He bends low. And many a time when a person's brokenhearted and they're crying, you can hardly make them out. You can hardly make their words out. But there's a Savior. And thank God he inclined unto me. And he bends low to hear your supplication. And you say sometimes you can hardly get the word spoken, friend. Let me tell you, he hears your whisper. He hears even the unspoken cry of your heart, because there's sometimes your heart's so broken. You can't even get the words out. God knows what you're going through. God sustains his children in the midst of the hardest circumstance. We're more than conquerors through him. Then get your eyes on Jesus tonight. You've looked to man and man can't help, and you walk away and you feel discouraged. And maybe at times you've said, why can't they do more?
What are you going to do about it? And your friend stands in the midst of it and says, I can't do anything more.
But you're more than conquerors through him that loved me. And thank God there's another promise. And God promises there's absolutely nothing that is able to separate you from his love. Nothing, friend. There's not a situation you face. There's not a night too dark. There's not a mountain too high. There's not a valley too deep. But praise God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has promised to love you. And that there's nothing can separate you or take you out of that love. Very quickly tonight, in the concluding part, I want to notice four simple questions. And I'll give them with you. The Holy Ghost has given the answer. Look at the first question. Look in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Then look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? And then look finally at that verse in the end of the passage of God's word in verse 35. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now notice, it's not what. The question's not posed about something that's impersonal, what. It is a very personal question. These questions are personal. It says, who shall separate us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who can be against us? Notice those four questions. Notice the first in verse 31. Who can be against us? And notice it said, what shall we then say to these things? In other words, God wants you to respond to it. You see, God has given you this revelation of himself, and God demands a response. God's word, you know, is not for your information to be filed away. God has given you his word, friend, for some academic exercise. The word of God is given, and we have got to act upon it, and we have got to obey it. And it says, what shall we then say to these things? What have you got to say, friend, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against? Now notice the word if. Because some people say to me, preacher, but hold on, there's a problem here. Because the word if is not a very certain word, because it's simply, you know, it's if. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if God is for me, or I'm not sure if God is against me, because it says if God be for me. But you see that word if, friend, in the original translation, it is the same word as since. In the original, it's the word since. It's not an if, I'm not sure, but it is since God be for us. And so, friend, here is something that you can rest upon. God is for us. God is working all things together for good, for good. To them that love God. And what God is pressing home here is, since God before us, and he certainly is, then who can be against us? That doesn't mean we don't have another problem. That doesn't mean we don't have adversity. That doesn't mean we don't have situations that try us. But it means that God's with us. See, in the book of Genesis, in the beginning of Genesis, What do I see, friend? I see God. It says, in the beginning, God. You see, God was there when God started the time. When I come to the book of Revelation, what do I find? I see God once again, friend. In the end of the Bible, God is still in charge when time runs out. And God says, time shall be no more. God's in charge. You know, at times, I'm sure that sometimes you're fighting against powers and you say, preacher, I feel like Paul because we're fighting against principalities and powers, against the prince of the darkness of this old world. And there are powers that are too great for me to overcome. Let me tell you, my friend, that the God we worship and the God who's with us is too great to let them overcome us. You see, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who liveth in me. And when we get our eyes upon the Lord, man, the old devil will come and whisper in your ear, you know, there's no use you going on. You've lost the battle. Do you feel depressed tonight? Do you feel the world's crowding in upon you? Do you feel their problems too great for anybody to solve? You've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried, you've cried, and you've cried, and you've cried. And the old devil, he stands and he says to you, you know, there's no use. You can't go on because God has forsaken you. The devil's a liar. Listen, since God be for us, God's for you, friend. God's with you. Thank God, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile in the storm. My God shall supply all your need. And I'm letting the Holy Spirit of God just witness that to my heart. I have great needs tonight, but let me tell you, my God shall supply. And since God be for me, listen, let me, who can be against me? And friends, so often we get our eyes upon little pipsqueaks. And we get our eyes on the Lord. And we can see them as giants. And we've got our eyes of God. The Almighty God of heaven and earth. Since God be for us. Who? Who can be against us? Friend, listen, here's a thought. You're on the victory side. You're on the victory side. Who is on the Lord's side? You're on the side of victory. The victory that was won at Calvary. Thank God he finished the work of the cross. Thank God he conquered principalities and powers. Thank God he put the powers of hell to flight at Calvary. Thank God through his death we live and we shall live for all eternity. What a Savior. Look at the second question quickly. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Here we've seen the scene is a courtroom. It's a judicial scene here. We're taken into the courtroom. And the old devil will put us into the defendant's chair and say, ah, now look at you. What have you got to say for yourself? Look at all those sins. And the old devil lays. You know, the Bible calls him the accuser. The accuser of the brethren. And he reminds you of the things that you've done. And friend, let me tell you this. Yes, we have done them. Many more. But the word of God says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Why? Why does it say that? Because it says God a justifier. God has declared us righteous in his sight. God has declared us justified. That's a legal term. Just as if I never had sinned. And positionally in Christ tonight, let me tell you, those who trust in Christ, those who are saved, those who are truly born again of the Spirit of God, as far as God is concerned, through the work of his Son at the cross, thank God he has taken our sins and he transferred the righteousness of his Son to me. And I stand robed or imputed
He has imputed to me or reckoned to me the righteousness of his dear son. And thank God the judge has already acquitted us and we're justified in God's sight. What though the accuser roar of deeds that I have done? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God? Martin Luther, when God saved him and gloriously changed his life, one night the old devil came to him with his doubts and fears, and he said to him, Luther, what a rotten sinner you are. And you know, Luther, as he listened in his dream, and he was dreaming about it, and it seemed to be the old devil was coming, and he was troubling his mind, and in his dream, the old devil was pointing out his sins, and Luther said, yes, I have sinned, and the devil says, but look at the sins, and Luther says, well, write them down, and he wrote them down, and he wrote and wrote and wrote upon the blackboard, and then after that, Luther said to him, is that them all? And the devil says, not at all, I'm not even started yet. Well, he says, then write them down. And so he wrote again and wrote until the old devil was nearly tired writing down his sins. He says, is that them all? He says, not at all, there's more. He says, write the rest of them. And whenever he had finished writing them all, he says, well, is that it? He says, that's about it. Well, Luther took the pen and he walked over and he wrote on the board, the blackboard, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And you see, he took the word of God, friend, and he resisted the devil in Jesus' name. And thank God the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He has got to go when you claim the blood. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And maybe there's someone tonight, and the old devil's troubling you about your past. The old devil's pointing out and accusing you about your past. Let me tell you, if you're truly saved, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus has dealt with your past. He took not some of your sins on the cross, but praise God, he took them all. And that's why the Holy Ghost says, who can lay anything? The brat out of hell, thank God, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Thank God. We are justified by faith in his Son. Look at the third one quickly. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Friend, how can a judge condemn us when Christ Jesus, our Savior, stood condemned already? In our guilty room and in our stead. He took our sins and bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the only one who could have condemned us, thank God he has brought salvation to us through the blood of the Savior's cross. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And here's the last question. Verse 35. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The greatest motivation for a man is love. A man who loves his country will defend it. A man who loves his family will provide for them. A man who loves his friend, the Word of God says, would even die for them. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And maybe you feel tonight that nobody loves you. And there are people tonight, and friend, they feel that there's no one that really cares or no one understands what they're going through. And yet, thank God, there is nothing can separate the child of God
from the love of our Savior. Shall tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, height, depth, things present, things to come. Paul said, I'm persuaded that none of these can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. You're loved tonight. Oh, that you'd run to the loving arms of a Savior. And you say, my heart's breaking, preacher. You love Jesus Christ, friend, broken-hearted Christian. Run to your Master. Run to your Savior's arms. Nestle into his breast. Shed your tears upon the Savior's breast. Bring him your problems. Bring him your cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear sinner tonight, you're on your way to hell. If you die as you are, you'll be lost forever. If you close your eyes in death, if you'd have been traveling as Lorraine was traveling yesterday in that car, and she said, I feel faint. And friend, just as she said those words, I feel faint. Aaron and his sister Alana saw the car moving to the side. She lost control. And friend, let me tell you, Aaron took a hold of the steering wheel and tried to get his foot over to the brake, and Alana pulled the handbrake in the car, and they got the car stopped. The mother was taken to hospital, and 10 minutes later, they declared her dead. Out in God's eternity. That had been you, friend. Where would you be tonight? You know fine well where you'd be. You'd be in hell. You'd be lost. You'd be in the damned for all eternity, amongst the groans of the damned in a lost eternity, and there forever, and there's no coming back. Eternally lost. Your family would grieve over your passing, but they'll never change your destiny. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Men and women, I beg you in God's name, questions. Who? Thank God. God as far as. Who can be against us? There's no one. Who can lay a charge to God's elect? There's none. Who can condemn me? Because Christ has died. Glory to God. The answer is none. Who can separate me from the love of Christ? Glory to God. There's none. I'm safe. In May God bless that to our hearts. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Thou knowest those that are truly Thine. And tonight they're truly secure and they're truly safe in Jesus Christ, but there are those that are living under a false profession. And maybe there are those tonight that are God and they know fine well in their hearts they're not right with You. Lord, if You're to call them, they know fine well, Lord, they'd be lost for all eternity. And I beg in Jesus' precious name, please open their eyes. Maybe those tonight, and they're relying upon their goodness to get them to heaven. And yet, our God, You said there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, turn them to Jesus tonight. Turn them to Christ. For those tonight that are in this service and their hearts breaking, and life's problems are pressing in upon them. Oh God, let Your children run to You, Lord. And let them cast their care upon Thee. Help them tonight, Lord, to unburden the load and cast it upon Christ. For Lord Jesus, You're bigger than all of our problems. And You're bigger than all of our fears. Lord, would You comfort the sorrowing tonight? Give them grace to face tomorrow. Bless every family that has been bereaved in this congregation. And O God, as they cast their burden on Thee, bring them the comfort of Your love. And bring them the comfort and assurance of Your salvation. Save the lost.
for Jesus' sake. In a moment, I'll be in the minister's room. Dear man or woman in this service tonight, if you know not Jesus, I beg you, run to Christ. Run to Him. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Savior, one without you would dare to die? Lord, save them, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.